The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
We're going to get to Pickens. Brian Bacco just had a phenomenal idea with Tomlinisms. Have you told anybody this idea?
We mentioned it on the North Shore Drive podcast on Friday.
Please elaborate. Let the people hear.
I think some local establishment gives you a fortune cookie after your meal, and instead of having Chinese fortunes inside, Tomlinisms.
That would be limits.
We want
that
volunteers.
That is an unbelievable idea.
Not hostages.
That's a great idea.
We want volunteers.
What if you get the one that says, don't get beat to the flat? I don't know. I guess you could apply that to your life somehow.
That's one of the greatest. It's literally a great idea. It really is.
The people that we play are generally nameless, gray faces to us.
If anybody steals it, just, maybe I'll sue you. I don't know. I'll get top
at least
dog law.
Give them some free meals. I'm serious. That is a phenomenal idea. When you have red paint, you paint the barn red.
You need to get Mike T on board with that.
Obviously.
Just a fortune that said obviously.
Obviously.
What was the other great one? An all-time great. We want to be wine drinkers, not grape squashers.
Fine line between drinking wine and squashing. There's a fine line between drinking wine and squashing grapes. Literally reads like an ancient Chinese proverb translated to the English language.
I love that one. He had an older one today that was good that now I forget. That he's used many times. Did you say 8 pounds in a 5 pound bag?
He didn't use that one today. I'm sure we'll get that next week on the short week.
We got nameless gray faces today. There has to be, is there 100 of them? Because that's the way you could circulate them. There has
probably
to be 50, a good 50.
Yeah. I mean, people have 18 years to pull from at this point with him.
Yeah. It's okay if you get the same one.
Cut your eyelids off.
If you're a blinker, cut your eyelids off. That's right.
The standard is the standard.
Yep. That's probably one in circulation the most in this alternate reality we're conjuring up.
Remember when he was asked about going to USC and he said, never say never, but never.
Yeah.
It could be a mixture of ones that he's overused or continues to use and ones that he said once that were memorable, like that one. That's another great idea, Limits. You should go in with Batgo on this.
I think we should. This would be a good business model.
Yeah.
Somebody out there listening has to do this.
Have your people call my people, Bread.
All right. Pickens.
Bread.
Pickens with a very odd timeline, as I said. And perhaps we could have a real sports physician call the show. An orthopod, if you will, Brian.
Make routine plays routinely.
There you go. Or get MRIs routinely. If TJ Watt injured a hamstring today, if he felt a tweak, so to speak, would it not be common procedure, but also just smart to say, just to be safe, TJ, before we even think about putting you on the field Sunday, even if it were just for weighty plays, let's get an MRI on the thing. Why wouldn't that be just a common routine procedure, let alone with your franchise players, of which Pickens is absolutely one? Here's Tomlin on the whole thing. When this was unsolicited, right? He said, I'm going to go back into the timeline on Pickens.
First with George and summarize what transpired last weekend and give you a snapshot of what this week looks like. As I mentioned, leading up to the game, he experienced some hamstring discomfort post-practice on Thursday, getting some post-practice work. Felt pretty good on Friday. We decided to exercise a little bit of precaution, worked at him in a limited fashion on Friday, and wanted to save all those bullets for Sunday. Wanted to see what he looked like when he got to the stadium and then make a determination of how many plays we thought would be appropriate to utilize him in. Obviously, if he wasn't going to be a full...
Okay, stop. Wanted to see what he looked like when he got to the stadium Friday. Why not see what an MRI looked like on Saturday, Brian? That's the part that I'm very curious about. Just wanted to see what he looked like, you know, goes out for warm-ups. What if he says, I'm great, I'm good to go? You know, competitor wants to play. Hey, I'm good, watch, and forces himself through the injury in warm-ups. This could have been disastrous to play him in this game.
Yeah, and like we said, kind of right coming back from the news conference, the onus is on the player to some extent to give a clear picture to the proper people involved here of what he's feeling, when he started feeling it, how bad it's bothering him. And hey, if you believe the Schefter report Saturday night, there was still some optimism about him getting there Sunday. And
that's what he said. That's what Tomlin's saying.
And when Justin Fields was working through that, another practice, soft tissue hamstring injury, she told me it was a grade 2. I saw him on the field before the game, kind of testing it out a little bit that night before the Giants. I didn't see George doing that. Maybe I wasn't there early enough. Maybe they did it in the locker room, the tunnel or something. I don't know. But
I mean, if you're going to put him out on a football field with an injured hamstring, which is what it was, if it's discomfort, it's bothering him, then it's injured. That just seems crazy to me. Even the idea of, all right, you're uncomfortable enough, which is like saying injured enough, where we're not going to play you full time, but we'll put you out there for the weighty moments. That does not sound like sound logic to me.
And Tomlin told Tracy Wolfson before the game, I'm hopeful that it'll be a non-issue. Obviously, we're prepared to manage his reps if muscle fatigue becomes a factor. We'll play that by ear.
Muscle fatigue? This all seems just very odd.
The whole deal about not letting a small thing become a big thing is exactly what he said about Russell Wilson and that calf back in training camp.
So. Which I'm sure they MRI'd the calf. But before you put him on a football field, and I don't need to be a doctor to say that a hamstring issue, if you go out and sprint all day long, could be severely aggravated. You should take that precaution, I would think, before you send him out there, of knowing what you're dealing with. Am I losing my mind here?
I don't think so.
The bottom line, though, they didn't play him.
They didn't. Okay,
the bottom line
you're
is
right.
They didn't play him.
Let's hear the rest of it. Wherever we were.
The weighty passing game moments, if you will. But when we got to the stadium, it was evident that, you know, maybe the circumstance was a little bit more significant than we had hoped. And so we made the prudent decision in terms of shutting him down and not allowing a small problem to become a bigger one. Post game, man, we had an opportunity to get him an MRI. The injury did show up on MRI. It's a little bit more significant than what we imagined. And so we're just in the mindset now of just getting him healthy as quickly as we possibly can. There's a potential for this week, but it's an outside chance. If you press me, I'd probably say he's out or could be characterized as doubtful as we sit here.
I don't know that I've heard Tomlin describe one like that. If you pressed me, I would say he's out, but there's potential to play. Why would you play him this week? That would be insane.
I think he always errs on the side of there's the slightest possibility that George is feeling
good. But usually it's just characterized as, yeah, we'll leave the light on for George.
I don't know if he's used that exact verbiage. But
which, by the way, is part of the fortune cookie. We'll leave the light on for him.
Yeah.
Right?
A week ago or 2 weeks ago, he said Alex
Highsmith
was...
Well, let participation be our guide is another one.
He said Alex Highsmith was leaning in on a return. I think he meant he was going to practice a little bit, and he did, and he did not play against the sort of in the Bengals, right, in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
So, I think he's trying to be a little bit more transparent about this, but the whole injury report thing is odd. I mean, you just put it there in black and white. Sometimes stuff leaks out, sometimes it doesn't. And now the eyes of a collective city and Steeler Nation are on one George Pickens, and Tomlin is trying to walk that line of not saying too much to risk competitive advantage, but
we all know he's not playing.
I would strongly lean that way, yes.
We all know he's not playing. And so that puts a spotlight on the other guys, but let's let Tomlin finish there, and I believe Jerry Dulac had a follow-up. Wonder Twin?
When you look at the situation with George, is there a big picture element involved that you want to make sure you're cautious and you don't aggravate the thing?
No, to be honest with you, no. You know, there's enough things that have our attention in the here and now. We've kind of been in that posture all year. I don't imagine that would change. And so we'll see where the week leads us.
A little different. I mean, he didn't practice on Friday, but you were still planning on him potentially being available.
He did limited work on Friday.
Yeah, but I mean, is it a little different, though, having a full week to prepare for that as that potential?
You mean the strategy component? Certainly. You know, if he's limited, and he probably certainly will be limited at the early portions of the week, it'll give guys an opportunity to get extended in-helmet perspective on their prep.
So the first part, is there a big picture element? The way that I think about that is, if this were a playoff game, could George play? And if the answer is yeah, he probably could, but we're being extra careful with him because it's not a playoff game, I think that would be sound reasoning. You know what I mean? That's what I think Dulac was getting at.
Yeah, I didn't understand that answer from Tomlin. I mean, he'd already said they're being cautious so a small thing doesn't become a big thing. Maybe he's just resistant to this. Because, I mean, if you go listen to the rest of the presser, which I'm sure a lot of you listening now did, he was very resistant to any questions about this 3 games in 11 days stretch, Eagles, Ravens, Chiefs, back-to-back-to-back. So maybe he just didn't want to feed the beast, as he said last week on that front. But clearly, they have the big picture in mind here, because you're not going to risk losing George Pickens for 2 months when you could lose him for 2 games instead.
Bottom line is, if he could play in a playoff game right now, but they're being extra cautious, I agree with them, and I like that reasoning. You got to be healthy. You're basically in the playoffs. You're going to get there, and only one team's going to get the bye. Yeah, you still have a shot at that because you have the Chiefs coming here. Who knows? But really, that's kind of a long shot right now. So health is the bottom line here. Get to the finish line of this regular season with, for the first time in how many years for Tomlin, a healthy team for a playoff game, and go from there.
And have all hands on deck
to face whoever it might be.
Chargers, Broncos,
yes.
Ravens. Yeah.
It really, in the end, doesn't matter. Where, when, who.
You got to go through all of them eventually.
It does matter. I shouldn't say that.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter nearly as much as are you healthy. So I actually, in the end, maybe this is the wise way to go. It's been a very curious story from the beginning. And then we have the issue, Brian, of all these soft tissue injuries in practice. Limits mentioned this just yesterday. Well, Ray Fittipaldo asked Tomlin about it. Let's hear.
Like the number of soft tissue injuries you've had throughout the season, are there any adjustments you make in how you practice or when guys do practice?
You know, that is ongoing and continual. But I just think that's normal business operating procedure. I think if you're going to be good at what we do, you better have a hardcore plan while at the same time being light on your feet to make necessary adjustments. That's why I haven't delved too much into this 3-game sequence on the other side of Philadelphia. Because, there's so many variables involved, it's somewhat a waste of time. I'll do what's required this week for the collective based on the information and the players I have available. I'll do the same thing next week, and really it's the same thing regarding a lack of player availability for whatever reason.
What do you make of that?
Yeah, I understand that, and there have been a lot of soft tissue injuries. That's a good question there. I mean, just let's go down the list off the top of our heads here. Russell Wilson kicked it all off with a bang with the calf injury in the conditioning test. Justin Fields at that same position had one in practice, apparently, that happened. Jaylen Warren missed some time with a hamstring, I believe. Now George Pickens. Who else has there been? Roman Wilson. Roman Wilson got hurt in practice after playing in a game. The first one in camp was an ankle. But that's another one. Nick Herbig had a hamstring that kept him out an extended period.
From practice?
No, that was in game.
That was in game. Yeah.
I'm just talking about the soft tissue injuries in general. They changed their strength staff this year to try to be better.
So is that what we should be healthy? Should we be wondering about the strengths? First of all, A, is it an issue? If it is, should we be wondering about the strength staff and or Tomlin pushing guys too hard in practice?
I'd say all the above. I mean, you have to consider all of that when you're looking at...
And is it worth the risk if he is?
We've heard from football people who have that perspective about how he runs the most arduous physical practices, not just in camp, but in the regular season too. So I think he explained that to some degree to raise question that we're not going to just roll the ball out and let everybody have a country club practice because then we're not going to be very good come 1 o'clock on Sunday. But
right.
Clearly you need to be safe. And we mentioned it before, Cam Hayward barely practices anymore. A lot of the list of guys who doesn't practice on a Wednesday is about as long as it gets. So, Nick Herbig had one, Larry Ogunjobi with a groin now in game. Dante Jackson's had hamstring in game issue this year. So that it does seem like a lot of guys, but I honestly don't know if it's strange relative to the rest of the league because these guys are running, jumping all the time. They're twitched up athletes. They're going to pull hammies. They're going to pull groins.
It's raised my eyebrows, but I agree with you. Yeah. I'd have to see more. And then I wonder if part of it does get to the tenor, the nature of Tomlin's practices. Maybe it's worth it given the season that they're having. You know, he had a brutal camp by all accounts. That seemed to be worth it for whatever attrition there might have been. And speaking of attrition, Brian, the other question was about these three games in 11 days and whether he's already sort of planning that out as far as load management, snap management, practice time, things like that. This is how that went.
Three games in 11 days. How do you kind of approach what's to come here?
I'm really just focused on Philadelphia. I don't care what's on the other side of it.
Affect your approach to practice workload, division of labor, things like that, knowing that this is the start to a stretch like that?
It may affect it on the other side of Philadelphia, but I have a 7-day cycle this week, and so I'm not going to make the simple complex. We got a task this week. We got a job to do. We got a finite amount of time and materials and talent and manpower, as do they. With that in mind, we're going to prepare and focus our energies on winning this game. There's so many variables that could affect the preparation process on the other side of this game, the attrition component and so forth. It's fruitless and almost a waste of time to get beyond the template component. Certainly, I have a calendar and a template that does not have my time or attention. The Philadelphia Eagles do.
I hear all that, but I think if you're going to manage things like snap counts, and even practice, it has already started, or it should have already started and should definitely manifest in this game. I think it already has, Brian. I was just looking at Cam Hayward. He played a season low 61% of the snaps on Sunday, a season low. I think that's smart.
Yeah, and they didn't necessarily need it. I mean, they won by 2 scores. I know the Browns beat them the first time, but there's a lot of the way they approached this game that kind of made me think, okay, they're gonna do just enough to coast by these guys because they feel pretty comfortable with the plan they have in place and how they stack up when there isn't a blizzard taking place in the second half.
It's just like what we were talking about 10 seconds ago was you have to have the playoffs big picture health in mind. You just do.
Imagine cracking open a fortune cookie and it says, don't make the simple complex. I would probably keep that one in my wallet.
That's a great one, actually. And Cam's playing the second lowest snap count percentage of his career this season. The only lower one was last year, and he was actually hurt. So as far as I'm concerned, when you have a healthy Cam Hayward, this is the lowest participation of his career, which is incredibly smart because he's coming off that injury, he's aging, and he's playing great, and you want him healthy. You have to. I think you'd be derelict of duty to say, man, we got it. We just play him 90% of the time. We got to win the division. We got to get the one seed. Of course you do. These are big games. You got to try. But you have to try within the parameters of being really smart about finally, hopefully, bringing, like I said, a full army to the battle in the postseason. Tomlin almost never does that. He's had horrible luck with injuries.
And I would say probably a lot of teams don't get to do that. I bet if we looked up and down the playoff contenders right now, I mean, Aiden Hutchinson in Detroit,
yeah,
a huge one
yeah.
when he went down for them. So, I mean, everybody has to deal with that to some extent, but if you can avoid it, you try to avoid it. And limiting guys' snaps, that's weekly business. I think they're never going to just say, hey, TJ, go play 100% of the snaps. Good luck. Don't come out unless your eyeballs are on the floor. So, I mean, you're always going to try to be safe and careful and lean on your depth. And I think the Steelers have that to some extent, especially at edge rusher and even on the D-line a little more this year, although we'll see if Larry Ogunjobi is able to bounce back for this
Yeah,
week.
And we're not sure about that yet, although he gave him, it sounded like a decent shot, right?
Yeah, he sounded somewhat optimistic, but Ogunjobi just feels like it's always, there's always something hampering him.
So. And it's the same thing as the preseason, by the way, when people are like, oh, you can get hurt in practice.
Yeah, the rust versus rest debate, and we have it every August.
You could get hurt in practice. You could get, you know, hurt walking across the street. Right. It's about giving yourself the best chance to stay healthy. While in terms of these games, as opposed to the preseason, still giving yourself a great chance to win.
And Tomlin's been bullish on playing his starters at least a little bit in the preseason for the most part. I think this year, what, he held out Cam and TJ for all three games. So that might have been a little bit of departure from the norm. But
yeah
I mean, he's not like one of these teams where you don't recognize a single name who's out there in the starting lineup for the second or third preseason game.
The season is stupidly long and about to get longer. You have an unprecedented stretch of games here that is...
Well, not quite. Remember the COVID year? Now, that was weird.
What did they
factors.
Play? What did they?
I think it was 3-10 or 3-11 that
it?
Year because they had that Titans game moved,
yeah.
And then like, all of a sudden they had a, was it a week three bye?
Yeah.
And that was the impetus for one of the most famous Tomlinisms. I don't know if it's fortune cook worthy, but we do not care. That's what he was getting asked about, the span of games that they had in quick succession that day.
He had another great quote that year. After they beat the Ravens JV team on a Wednesday, when someone asked him...
Trace McSorley.
Somebody asked him something about something, and he said the story of the game was us sucking. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I mean,
can
Trace McSorley got into that
Look
game.
Look for that quote limits.
I think the Ravens rolled out late-stage Dez Bryant that
was,
day,
RG3 was that day.
He started, and McSorley had to come in at one point. I watched that from my couch because we had the COVID protocols in place. What a miserable day that was.
Well, looking at TJ's snap counts, man, he's been 90, 96, 94, 92, 93, 96. Brian, he almost does play 100% of the time a lot.
Well, they've been down a guy on the edge, too,
right.
So that hasn't helped. But now that they've got the full complement, start to lean on Preston Smith more, Nick Kirby,
it has
Alex
Highsmith.
Yeah.
It has to happen, and people might get pissed, you know, if they see whatever.
Well, that's a big difference, though, is you won't see Jeremiah Moon or
right.
Ade Ogundeji or Derek Tuska or Taco Charlton
right.
taking relevant
oh my God.
Reps.
Now I'm
or Jameer
traumatized
Jones.
By remembering those
Cassius
guys.
Cassius Marsh.
You know, if TJ is out for 20% of the snaps, you have to do it. You have to. You'll be thankful in the end, I think, if he's down to about 80. I don't see anything wrong with that. He played 76% against Cincy. And 80, he was back up to 89%. I wouldn't mind getting him down to 70 for these games. Seriously.
And that way he can really redline it when he's out there. And I know he would never say that he's, you know, taking a playoff or anything, but it's human nature. If the run's going away from you, you got to conserve a little bit of energy. But now that you know when you come out, you're not putting in a journeyman undrafted free agent to replace you. You're putting in Preston Smith, who you traded for at the deadline and has been a big-time sack guy at times in his NFL career.
Man, really excited about this one, man. This Pennsylvania State Championship. Excited about representing Whipple in this. I was just joking this morning, man. We could play this game in Breezewood, man. That'd be awesome.
I love that quote.
Maybe
That's
Hershey,
the quote of the week.
Altoona State
Brian,
College.
Brian, we just talked about it during the break. Can you imagine if this game was at Beaver Stadium?
That'd be quite the atmosphere.
Limits?
109,000.
Should be.
It
right.
should be.
Be.
It should have been. They should have, like, doesn't baseball designate rivalry series? You have a certain rival
the
all
Pirates
the time?
Is the Tigers. I don't know how that was come up with.
I didn't say they did a good job of it, but why not do that in the NFL, Brian?
Well, in this case, as Tomlin alluded to also, they're only guaranteed to see them every 4 years. Now, in this case, they've had the quick crossover because of where they finished divisionally. So you'd really be scheduling out to try to pull off something like that.
Well, yeah, but they're going to 18 games anyway. When they go to 18
maybe
games...
Maybe there'll be more flexibility for such ideas.
There already is with 17. Here's what should happen. Each team should be designated a rival outside of their division.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I mean, The Bengals wouldn't have anybody relevant, but who cares? You know, the Steelers would have the Eagles.
Yeah, they can take the Escaloosa for any one of those.
The Ravens games. Would have the Commanders. Yeah, there's a lot of them.
Let's pick rivals outside the divisions for
Jaguars, Bucks.
Yes, the Steelers, Dolphins, Eagles every year at Beaver Stadium would be one of the greatest ideas in NFL history. Limits, would you agree with that?
1,000%.
Or every three, even. I mean, Pittsburgh, Philly, State College.
Buffalo could play who outside the division? The Giants in a little battle of New York?
Yeah.
All right. Then Miami could play another team. Miami and Tampa.
Yeah, sure.
They live 10 minutes away, for God's sake.
Chargers can play against the Rams right there in L.A.
Guarantee that every year at SoFi Stadium.
I guess it would have to be Jets, Giants, so the Bills would need a new team. Bills against, so they have
the Lions. How about the Bills
and
the Lions?
There you go, the Rust Belt game.
Yes.
Or the Bills and the Browns.
No, the Bills are with the Browns. The Lions and the Browns, you mean. Yeah.
No, the Bills-Browns could be Rust Belt, too, outside your division.
I thought you were talking AFC-NFC for these matchups.
Oh, no,
you already
rotate outside divisions. Your division.
I think the way to do it would be AFC-NFC pairings.
Okay, I agree. Yeah. Baltimore, Washington, Houston, Dallas is a gimme, right? What about Indy? That's a toughie.
Green Bay or one of the
make
Bears,
up a rivalry.
Chicago Bears.
Yeah. Jacksonville, another Florida team.
Falcons.
Falcons. That's not a Florida team.
Yeah, but they're close. Atlanta.
They're close enough.
Jacksonville, yeah.
That would be phenomenal.
I think somebody floated this a while ago, and then you'd have like a wonky one at the end that would be like Bengals, Cardinals, and the Who Cares Bowl every year. But
how would that be different than Pirates, Tigers?
Yeah.
You treat your worst teams, if they don't have a natural rival, then forget it. How is it not Pirates, Cleveland, by the way?
Should be. I mean, that does not make any sense.
They probably have the Reds, huh?
Well, you know, one team
Reds
could have two.
Reds and Guardians play against
each other. You need the pairings, but yeah, they very well may do that when they go to an 18th game, because right now the way it works is this convoluted thing where you play the division finisher of the division you faced 2 years ago from the NFC or whatever. So,
do you know what kind of spectacle that would become and the animosity that would arise between Steelers, Eagles every year at Beaver Stadium?
I really don't. It's hard to fathom. It's hard to wrap your head around.
Limits, I'm surprised you're not more excited about this.
I'm 1,000% excited. They should do this.
It doesn't sound like it.
Because the Steelers, I mean, Pittsburgh, you're 2.5 hours away from Beaver Stadium. Philadelphia is, roughly 3 hours away?
Yeah.
You play it in the center. You see this a lot with college basketball games, where Penn State always has a game at, like, the Palestra over by Philadelphia, where they'll play somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, basketball does it all the time. The NFL keeps adding games. The NHL, we see it with Stadium Series. Do something like this.
50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. What's Cooking, brought to you by your local GEICO rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
We have to go, Brian. We have no more time. You were great, as you always are.
Thanks,
we'll talk to you next Tuesday. Is there any other questions for... Oh, I did have a quick question in 20 seconds. I keep getting this in my mailbag, and especially with Pickens now. What is the status of Roman Wilson? What is going on there?
I think this is probably a redshirt year for him at this point. I mean, you wouldn't even know.
Is he practicing?
No, he's on IR. They haven't designated him for return or opened his practice
window. Do you ever see him?
Or anything. Yeah, he's around the team, but he's trying to get his hamstring right, and I think at this point...
Maybe they can give him an MRI.
At this point, you've come to a lost year for him.
Thank you, Brian. So it's no chance. If they
I'm
had,
not going to say
if
no Pickens chance. I don't speak in absolutes.
If somebody else gets hurt, if who's the number two? If Mike Williams
Van
gets
Jefferson,
hurt.
Van Jefferson. Calvin Austin would probably be the big one because he has the speed and the quickness.
We have to go. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. 0% financing on all 2024 Chevy EV models. Up to 60 months through January 3rd with credit through GM Financial. High of 56 and sunny. Good night, Limits.
Good night.